This is the Skirted Roundtable with Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Code to Texas.
And today on our blogging portion of the Skirted Roundtable, we are going to be talking about blogging with no readers, when new blogs, it's something that every new blogger faces, and issues related to finding your voice and the importance of readers and commenters. And this was a question with thanks to Victoria Art, who has been kind enough to send it in as a suggestion.
Thank you all to the readers who have given us ideas. What you want to hear, like this is a perfect example.
We actually, thank you, I agree, because it's so nice to know, number one, that there are people out there listening and they have something to say, and it helps us because we do have a list that we're keeping.
I had mentioned this before, but one of the disappointing things about blogging is when I started, I really thought I had a voice and I had things to say. I had sources to share. And interior designers that no one had heard of that I wanted to introduce to the world. And once I started doing this, I realized that actually I had nothing new to say. It had all been done. And every time I Googled someone, you know, it had already been covered. And, you know, that's just really disappointing. And you just have to come to the realization that, do you have a new perspective to put on to it?
Yeah, that's what it's about. I mean, it's sort of, I think each blogger has their own audience, and the audience is there because they like the, what they feel is a relationship with the writer of the blog. So,
You know, that's very true, Megan. A lot of times when I go to blog on something that someone else has blogged about, I will think about people that I know are reading my blog, like my friends or my family. And I'll know, well, they don't know this. They didn't read Style Court, you know, or they didn't read, you know, Pika Chic. So it's going to be new to them. So you do
That's
have to
true.
Think about your particular audience, you know.
Well, I think going back, Megan, to what you said about, you know, every blogger has their own voice, I guess I would quantify that, to qualify that, to say every successful blogger has their own voice. Because there's an awful lot of people that, you know, it takes a while to establish what your voice is. Some people establish it right away, but it takes some of us a long time to sort of establish what is our voice and how are we different than...
And I think that that kind of goes back to blogging without an audience. When you very first start blogging and you assume it's just your parents and your best friends reading it.
Yeah.
And it is just your parents reading it.
It is. It is.
Yeah. You don't need to assume that. It's true.
So you're blogging from the heart, and I remember in the beginning, I felt that I was just sort of, I remember one of my friends after a few months saying, I don't even feel like I need to email you anymore, because every time I read your post, I feel like I just got an email from you. So, I mean, hopefully, I felt like that was a compliment, because it meant that I wasn't being really cool and removed from the posting. I was actually writing the way I would speak to somebody, to one of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that helps. I think that when people try too hard to be distant and sort of journalistic in their almost reporting of whatever the subject is, you know, I think that it can tend to sort of miss that connection, that sort of audience connection, communication.
But one thing I when I've talked to people, I've given some talks or sat on panels about blogging, one of the nice things when you start blogging and you have no readers is it really gives you the chance to experiment.
Yes.
And because nobody's reading. So it's like everyone thinks you put it out there and the whole world is going to see it, and the whole world is not going to see it. You can delete your post. Now, that being said, we all know you put it on the internet, it is somewhere always on the internet. So to some extent, you have to be judicious. But it gives you the, you know, for a design blogger, generally we're not being completely controversial and racy. You know, you're not talking about drunken debauch nights. But if you are, you'd probably be a really popular blogger. But, you know, it gives you that chance to play around with things and try different voices and try different ways of doing it and come to your own level of what you're happy with. Without worrying about having lots of turning people off, because nobody's necessarily turned on yet.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Well, going back to blogging without readers, I think things have changed in the design blog world in 2 years dramatically.
Yes.
When I started, there weren't hardly any, you know, design blogs, really. There were some, but over the past 2 years, the number has grown and grown, and every day there's new ones. You do wonder, is there a saturation point?
I don't think so, because I think people will choose what they want, and then,
but,
you know.
But, Megan, a lot of these new bloggers, they come on, and they want what we have, which is 2 years of growing an audience, and it doesn't happen overnight unless you're Eddie Ross.
Right, and he had a TV show to jumpstart him.
I mean, he literally overnight was a sensation.
But he already had a following.
He deserves his audience. So another thing is content. You have to have interesting content to get readers. You just do. And especially even more so today, with all the competition out there.
Well, I think that's right. Is that the early days of the blogging, the Grace Bonney, you know, she was sort of a pioneer, apartment therapy. Those guys, there wasn't a lot of noise around them. Now, you're a new blogger. If you're interested in blogging, if you're interested in getting a lot of readerships, there are bloggers who I don't think mind that they don't, you know, they're just doing it for themselves, and that's great. But if you really are like, I want readers and I want people to pay attention, that's what's hard today. I don't know that it's so much a saturation point is just that
sorting through it
and getting up through the, you know, all of the niches that are out there. But I think that, you know, I mean, and Eddie Ross is sort of a very special case because he had the TV show, and he had the Martha Stewart name, and he had the House Beautiful name, and he had connections, and on top of all of that, the most important thing is he has the content. You know, he's brilliant.
But my point is that 99.99% of bloggers are not Eddie Ross. You cannot
absolutely
look at Eddie Ross and as an example. It's not going to be that way.
No, and that's what I'm saying is that he wouldn't have been the blogger he is if he didn't have the content to back up.
Right.
You know,
had he not just hopped on. Although he does have, Joni and I, were we all talking about this? Just the way that man puts together his blogs. I mean, the photo shoots and the art direction he does.
Oh, yeah. And that's
the time it must take.
Yeah,
I mean,
the time must be unbelievable.
Impressive.
So, you know, he's a good example of, you know, doing everything right, but also having all the things, you know, in the right place.
Well, it's a fabulous blog, and it is an inspiration.
Yes.
You know, something to achieve and strive for, but you've got to be realistic, you know?
I
don't think he's somebody that most people can aspire to because of all the different circumstances around, you know, what he was. He was already something before he was blogging. But there are people out there who I think that just start blogging because they just want mass adulation and or attention, or it's for some other reason, which is where I kind of think it sort of reads in the blog when you realize it's just really about pulling attention to a product they have or a business that they're trying to promote.
Yeah, I think that's the tricky thing is that, you know, a blog is a great idea for certain businesses to promote themselves, but they've got to if they want to have readership and therefore bring in potential clients, they've got to have a voice beyond their own product. Like Brocade Home, although I really don't want to promote them because they had so many problems, when they had their blog going, they didn't just talk about Brocade Home products. You know, they talked about products and lifestyles and pictures that were very similar to were in their aesthetic,
but not their
products.
Aren't y'all just turned off by commercial blogs?
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And I think it's weird because most people who consult specialists who are there to help their business grow, the consult people will tell you, oh, you need a blog with your business website. Who reads those?
Tell me what you mean, Joni, by a commercial blog.
A catalog that has a blog.
Are you turned off because they're only posting about their own products, which I agree.
As a rule, I don't read them.
But did you ever see, like, the Brocade Home blog when they were doing
it? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought they were... Almost everyone that has a business now, online business, they've got a blog, and as a rule, I don't read them. I mean, I just don't.
I'm with you. And it's because you don't know that they're coming from a place of integrity. It seems
there's not that personal.
Well, I think the successful ones are the ones that create the personal, understand that the blogging is not, I mean, if all they want to do is do a blog post about a product as they go along, then, you know, really it's...
Well, even the ones that have, even the ones that don't do that, that do talk about other things besides it, there's just, it's missing. And I think that is what part, a big part of the design blog is bringing your, a successful design blog, is bringing your life into it in some way. I think those are the more, you know, successful ones sometimes.
Yeah, sure. That goes back to when we do posts that are personal and maybe talk about our personal
selves. Well, I mean, even taking Eddie Ross, for example, I think when he talks about his trips and he shows the people he went with, I think those are very successful posts of his. You know, people want to see his life. And you don't have to be famous for
well,
that.
Well, look at the bloggers who, not outside of design blogging, but look at the top 1% of the bloggers who are making bank, like Deuce. That's all she does. Her blog is just based, I mean, and she's brilliant, and she's a great writer, and she has a great sense of humor, so that helps. She's fun to read, but, I mean, that's all about herself. There's a girl named Stephanie Klein who is considered sort of the very first blogger that became, and that's all, I mean, she writes about really everything.
But those aren't design blogs. Those are life blogs.
But the reason why people tune into those is because complete strangers are interested in other people's lives. So if you can somehow weave that into your design blog, see, you're still writing about design, but there's a personal level to it.
But what about, I mean, like you think of Desire to Inspire. They really post just a lot of beautiful pictures, and they're very successful at that. And, you know, sometimes they have personal, you know, one of them...
She redid her house.
You know, so there's been some personal things and that kind of thing, which definitely draws the attention. But, you know, it's a lot of
but
very beautiful...
they also were pioneers. I don't know when they started, but they were here...
A couple of years ago.
I was.
Yeah.
And,
they came along really fast. They really... I remember watching them, and it was just like they came out of nowhere and just burst into the scene almost. So going back to the, you know, when people start out and struggle with not having a lot of readers, what do we think has made some people, and, you know, obviously we're speculating because none of us ever know what anyone else's actual readership is. The ones that seem like they just sort of burst into the scene really quick versus some that you can tell, you know, maybe struggle a little bit.
What are the differences? I personally think it's the voice. I think it's content and voice, though, too. I think that being, there's something about being a good enough writer that you're bringing your audience in. People feel a connection, so they want to come back. They feel community, a sense of community.
You know, why are we blogging? I do think readers and comments are validation. I think it's a legitimate thing to want to feel that people like what you do. I think that's part and parcel of being a writer. It's certainly of being a designer. I mean, we're all, whether you're an active designer or whether you are a design fan who does your own home, there is a level of stage presence there. You know, I'll speak for myself. I really like people to ooh and ah over things I've done. And, you know, there's a reason. I mean, I'm a musician. I'm, you know, everything I've done, I want people to praise me, which isn't necessarily pure, but it's the way it is. And the blogging is sort of
human nature.
It's human nature. That's the hard part about particularly being a new blogger is.
Sorry.
It's not an earthquake, is it?
That was good, Linda. I
lost my train of thought, unfortunately.
You want people to applaud you.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I admit it. Yeah, I think that it is human nature to want the validation. And even if you're just, you know, you're putting out your thoughts because you want to put them out, you know, you want the validation. Now,
well,
so
going back to what you said, our work is someone's house. And unless it's published in a magazine, nobody is going to see our work. So now we have a forum to show our work to the world. So I love when I've done a room that I can put on the internet and show, you know, this is what I do. And, you know, people are nice enough not to be negative about it. Though I have posted work that has gotten negative comments, and it's very hurtful, but, you know, you just have to deal with it. So.
Right. Or the people who, you know, they post the work they've done in their own home, you know, and that's a desire.
Another thing, we work on our home day after day after day, and nobody outside of our family and friends see it. The blog is a perfect form, And going back to that, I think that is why there's been such a huge explosion of design blogs, because it gives people a forum to show their house, their work, to the world.
That they're proud of.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Cote to Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, and you can download our podcast at iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.